Hope everybody got your little Baptist nap this afternoon. I did not. I was up playing with my new dog. I got a new dog. No. I told Brian, he says, you got to get another dog. We're keeping him. That's my little buddy. All right, let's tell you what we'll do. I'm going to ask someone to open up in prayer first. Brian, would you please open up with a word of prayer, please?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back here tonight.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for your love, Lord, for your mercy and your grace that you show us every day. Lord, we're thankful for the Word of God, Lord, being able to hear it preached this morning. Lord, thank you for the messages that you brought to us, Lord. Thank you for challenging us. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Lord, thank you for our pastor, Lord, and for him standing on the Word of God and preaching it, Lord. We pray that you'd meet with us here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be involved in all the song singing. Pray you'd move in our hearts, prepare for the preaching. Lord, I pray you'd fill Pastor with the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide him and use him to bring a message that you've laid on his heart. Help each one of us to receive it, Lord, with an open heart, to allow it to move in our hearts, to challenge us, Lord, and to just to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray you'd keep us all safe as we drive home tonight. Lord, be with us as we go about our week this week. Lord, teach us, Lord, how to walk with you hand in hand.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you, again, would just meet with us here in a special way tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Have you ever given a great deal of thought about, and I know I have, you know, after you get saved, you accept Christ as your Savior, you wonder, why did the Lord leave me here? Why am I still here? Well, this song we're about to sing is exactly why we're still here. It's hymn number 668. There's another song I love even more than this one. It's called "Give Me a Set My Soul Afire," but it is not in this hymnal, so I've got to try to find it. And Pastor, are you familiar with it, Ralph? "Set My Soul Afire." Oh, wonderful, wonderful song. So I'll have everybody stand and sing with me. Hymn number 668. 668, a passion for souls. 668, everybody standing.
Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to sing the lost. Oh, that thy lover by all adored and welcomed at many calls. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constant.
Just keep Brother Craig Kelly in prayer. He's just having some health issues, and that's one of the reasons they left out this morning. So pray for him. I know he contacted his doctor. So just pray that God just lead and direct in there, and that God, the Lord, would just touch his body and be with Sister Kathy as well. And then Brother Mike Hoover, just keep him in prayer. Tuesday, Lord willing, he'll be having his bypass surgery. Pray for him. And then Pastor Art Gilmore, he's back home, but he's on strong antibiotics. So just keep him in your prayers as well. Lord willing, this Tuesday, we'll do our second installment of our brief Bible study. So this Tuesday, 6 to 7:30, for those that would like to come out for it, dinner will be provided. Lord willing, this Thursday, again, public outreach, 6 to 7. And then Lord willing, this next Sunday coming up after the morning service, we'll have a short little meeting with the members just to discuss a few things. One of them dealing with the incorporation, uncorporation, and some other things that just small little matters, nothing super important, just to be brought up before the church. And then, Lord willing, the 26th, that Sunday morning, we'll have a missionary in, Inel Javid. He's a missionary of Pakistan, trying to go there with his wife and two daughters. So we'll have him here with us that following Sunday morning. So I thought there was something else he was going to bring up.
Your uncle's wife is not.
Yes, that's two. So my uncle has been showing up. He came this morning. His wife's in the hospital. Trying to still figure out some things going on with her colon and something along those things there. She's been in the hospital, I think, since Thursday or Friday. So just keep her in prayer as well. Her name is Karen, and my uncle as well. So, amen.
All right. Let's turn to 292. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Let's have everybody standing. All sing. 292.
Jesus is mine, there's nothing between.
669. And I'm going to ask, when we sing the chorus, I'm going to say where it says, throughout the lifeline, and it says it again. We're going to have the ladies sing the echo part of that. So we're going to have the men sing the first throw out the lifeline, and the ladies echo the second one, throw out the lifeline. And we'll sing it like that. I'm sure you probably have done that before, but you know, I like to do that. So here we go. Throw out the lifeline, 669.
Keep your eyes.
beside the river. How we long to be with Jesus. And our loved ones gone before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside.
This evening, Philippians 3, and in verse number 9, I know you just sat down, but if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word this evening, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 9, 1 Thessalonians 3:9. Bible says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray just have your will and way, dear God, that everything that's said and done will be glorifying to you. Lord, help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Help us to just stay faithful and continue to fight the good fight of faith for you, Lord. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this evening, I'm going to continue on here with our study. Last week, I believe it was, we looked at verse 9 where it says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all your joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." And kind of goes along what we were looking at this morning where Paul talks here in verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you?" Again, being thankful for the brethren. And he talks about, "For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God." He goes into verse 10 saying, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Paul desired with great joy not only to be with the brethren, he was thankful for the brethren, but that he would see their face with this intention that he might perfect that what might be lacking in their faith. You see, till we get called home to heaven someday, there's always something that we could work on in our Christian walk. There's always something to work on. There's never no point in our Christian walk where we can say, "Well, we have attained to where we need to be. I no longer need the Bible nor to walk with God because I am at the spiritual plane that I need to be at." Never. Till God calls us home, till we take that last breath, I believe with all my heart, soul, mind, that there's always something we can learn to help us draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and our walk for Him. So we looked a little bit at joy. Take your Bible and look over at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. How important it is to have a joy in our life because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. The Bible says here that a pastor or a bishop, an elder, says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you." You know, being obedient in the sense that it's a joy for a pastor to see that the brethren walk together in unity and love with one another and desire to walk close to God. That is a joy, I believe, to any pastor that has a desire to serve God. Another one is, flip over to Philemon, the
the book of Philemon, a small book of Philemon, right before Hebrews. Philemon, and look at verse number 7. Philemon chapter, or verse number 7. Paul, again, writing to Philemon, look what he says in verse number 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The ability to refresh the brethren, to, unfortunately, I have to say, there's been times in the Christian walk to where when you get around certain brethren, it's like all of a sudden the whole mood in the room changes. At least in my Christian walk for the last 21 years, going to different churches, being around different brethren and getting to know different people, sometimes people come in and they definitely don't refresh the room that they're coming into. They drag the room down. Right? Paul says here about Philemon, he says, brother, he says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by him. He refreshed the bowels of the saints that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at 1 John chapter 1. Joy. Talking about joy. Having joy despite the circumstances. Look at 1 John 1 verse number 3. 1 John 1 verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That our joy may be full walking with God. Now, one of the reasons why sometimes our joy, we're going to go into it, look at it this evening now. One of the reasons that may affect our joy is when we have trouble following the path that God desires for us to go down to. Flip back over and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says, after verse number 9, where he talks about wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, and then in verse 10 he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking your faith. Verse 11 he says this though. He says, now God himself, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. Paul had a desire, again, here's another church that he desires to go see, to spend time with the brethren, to have fellowship with them, to help them grow in their faith, to where they may have fruit that may abound in their Christian walk. Paul says, though, in verse number 11, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And he said back, and if you look back in chapter 2, verse 18, he says that Satan hindered him trying to get over to the brethren there. He says in verse 18, wherefore we'd have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul had a desire to get there. Once and again, he tried to go to this church, but Satan hindered him, and he couldn't get over there. And he says here in chapter 3, verse 11, that God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ would somehow, some way, direct his way unto them. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very popular portion of Scripture. A lot of people memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. But we'll read it here this evening. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. God directing our ways. I kind of just take a few moments this evening about God directing our paths, God directing our lives in the way that he wants them to be directed in order for him to receive the glory and honor. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You acknowledge God, you pray to the Lord, you trust him with just not part of your heart, you trust him with all your heart, and the hard part is this, not leaning unto your own understanding, not doing and thinking of what you think needs to be done. There was something said of pilots in the early days when they first started flying planes. Something would occur, and I don't know at what point with what plane, but when they were up in the sky, they would lose control of the plane, And the pilot said that, I think it was like with fighter jets, more in a modern era, when they were first flying, and they said, you're feeling the way you felt you should move the stick within the cockpit was based on your feeling, but when you moved it that way, what you felt should be done to help you get out of that tailspin would actually create the tailspin to get even worse. But they said it was so hard to fight against what you felt should be done, the direction you should go with that stick in order to pull you out of that spin. And so finally, a pilot one day, he put himself into one of those spins, and he did opposite of everything that was in him. He did opposite of what he felt, and it pulled the plane right out of that tailspin. And so they were able to teach pilots coming up in within the schools to say, hey, when you get in this situation, don't go off of what your feelings are saying for you to do. Go off what the manual and instructors telling you to do, completely opposite of what you feel. And it's the same way in our life, in our spiritual life. There's times where we feel this is what should be done, when in reality, we should be going just the opposite of what we're feeling. But that only comes about leaning not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledging Him. And when you do those three things there in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, God will direct your path. God will direct your path. Look over at Proverbs 16, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. Proverbs 16, 9. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. The Bible says this, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his path or his steps. There's nothing wrong with devising a plan or setting up a plan in your life, but always allow God to direct the steps. There's nothing wrong with planning. But as you plan and as you set things up, always be flexible enough to allow God to get in and do what God desires for it to be done in your life. Always allow God to direct your steps. Look over real quick over at Psalm chapter 25, verse number 8 and 9. One thing that helps with God directing our steps is to have a meek spirit about ourselves. Psalm chapter 25 and verse number 8 and 9. Look what David says here about God leading and directing him. Psalm 25, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says here, God, our good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. You want God to teach you. You want God to guide you and lead and direct you in your life. Ask the Lord to help us all to have a meek and quiet and humble spirit, and we'll get direction from the Lord. Now, there's a situation in the Bible that I'm going to take a little bit of time here to look at, to where people came to God through a prophet and asked for direction in what they should do. Look real quick this evening over at Jeremiah chapter number 42. Jeremiah chapter number 42. Every time I read through this story here, it just makes me scratch my head because of all that they had already been through. And no doubt they knew that Jeremiah had a walk with God. But look at Jeremiah chapter number 42 and verse number 1. Now the Babylonians had already come in, had carried away most of those that lived in Judah and Bethlehem, and carried them away captive. He had already set up a governor there, which some came in and killed him. And now the Israelites, the few that are left, are scared, trying to figure out what they want to do or what they should do. Chapter 42, verse 1, the Bible says, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kerera, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshiah, and all the people came from least, even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the things that we may do. So these men, these leaders, come to Jeremiah and they say, look, Jeremiah, there's very few of us left. Very few of many of us left, Jeremiah. And they asked Jeremiah, they said to Jeremiah in verse number 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Jeremiah, we're asking you, go pray to the Lord God that he may give you direction and guidance in what we should do and the path that we should take. Seems like a pretty good thing. Seems like a pretty good thing to go to Jeremiah the prophet and say, hey, can you get a hold of God so that we can find some type of direction that we should go? Verse number 4. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard you. Haven't you ever been around somebody before and heard the saying, and somebody says, well, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. They telling you something. You're like, yeah, I hear you. Jeremiah says here, I've heard you. I hear what you're saying. Jeremiah is not stupid. And you know, a lot of people that walk with God and are close with God, they're not dumb either. Somebody come up to you and say, preacher, I need you to pray for me. Yeah, oh, okay, I hear you. I hear you. How many kids I would have through the years come up to me, chap, I need you to pray for me. I hear you. I hear you. You just in a fix right now, and you just coming to me because you're hoping that my prayers will get a hold of God and get you out of the mess that you just created for yourself, and then everything will be fine, and you won't have to worry about the mess no more. I hear you. It ain't a matter of get a hold of God because I'm broken because of what I've done. No, get a hold of God to help me get out of the consequences that may be getting ready to come down to my path line, my pipeline here, and I don't want to face them. Right? How many people come because the only reason they're coming is because they're in a mess? And I'm not saying you shouldn't come to God because there's a mess in your life. I'm saying, but what is the reason why you're coming to God because of the mess? Are you coming because you realize you really messed up and you're really humbled by it and you want God to forgive you and help you make it through it? Or are you just looking for God just to take care of it so you keep going and do the same thing you want to do again? There's a difference between the two. And Jeremiah sees through these men and he says, I've heard you. I've heard what you're saying. Look what he says here. He says, behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Verse 5. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Jeremiah, we'll do everything that God tells you for us to do. Jeremiah, you can trust us, Jeremiah. The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us and you if we don't do according to all that you tell us to do from God. Verse number 6, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Verse number 7. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kerera, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show you, and I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Jeremiah comes back with a word from the Lord saying, stay here, God will be with you, God will protect you, God will build you up, he'll plant you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, God is with you. And brethren, I'm going to say to you tonight, be not afraid of what's going on around in this world. Be not afraid. Be not afraid of who's in power in our government. Be not afraid of what's coming down the pipeline. Trust in God, and God will plant you. God will establish you. God will be with you. God will guide you and direct you in every decision you've got to make. Trust the Lord. Trust God. Don't let the enemy Don't let what's going on around you steal your joy with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things today that are happening that are stealing a lot of saints' joy and peace. Stealing it right away because they're concerned about what's going on in this world. You cannot control it. You cannot stop it. Walk with God. Think about just what happened to the children of Israel here to the children of Judah. They just got taken captive. A foreign enemy came in, occupied their land, took away the majority of the population. There's a few people left. No doubt they would be scared and fearful. They just got took over by the Babylonian army. One of the greatest armies that ever lived. The Babylonian Empire. They lost family. They lost loved ones. A few of them are left. They just had their governor assassinated. They're afraid about what's going to happen and occur because of the situation. And they get in their mind, we're going to take off to Egypt. So they come to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, get a hold of God so we can figure out what we need to do. Jeremiah comes back and says, God says, stay here, trust Him, walk with Him, and He'll protect you, He'll guide you, He'll direct you, and He'll be with you. Trust the Lord. Trust not in thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy path. But look what happens here in verse number 13. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and to go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt. And ye shall be an extraction, an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. God tells them through the prophet Jeremiah, don't run down into Egypt for help. You know how that applies to us today? Don't run to the world for help. Stop going to Egypt. Stop going to Egypt thinking that Egypt's going to be able to help you out. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. This home, this earth, this world is a picture of Egypt, is a picture of the world. And what's happening here is they're asking for guidance from the Lord. How many times have we prayed for guidance from the Lord and God gives it, yet we choose what we think should help us better? Well, Lord, I think that this would work better for me in my life. This would help me with the situation I'm following. And surely, God, you'll understand this time that I believe that this type of situation will help me out better. And God's saying, listen, stop going to Egypt to get your help. How many Christians today are going to worldly psychologists to get help? Well, the Bible just don't work. Well, maybe you're not applying it the way you ought to be. How many kids the preacher in the church can't fix the problems that you've established for 30 years overnight. And a lot of people are like that. I used to have kids that would go out and they'd rob somebody. They'd slap someone over the top of the head with a gun, rob them, get caught, and now look at doing 25, 30 years for armed robbery. And when they pray to God to help them when they go to court and God doesn't answer their prayer, they say, oh, well, God, forget God. He didn't answer my prayer. He didn't get me off the charge. Well, no, He didn't get you off the charge because you deserve what you're facing. Because you're the one that went out there, slapped somebody over the side of the head with a gun, robbed them, and now you must face the consequences for it. And you can't expect God then to plead your cause and just, oh, we're just going to forget about what you just did. And that's what they want God to do. They want God to forget about what they just did. God, move in, take it away so I can go back out and do the same thing again. Look, brethren, we got to realize if we planted seed 20 or 30 or 40 years ago and now we're reaping a crop from it, we can't expect to, when we pray to God for 5 minutes and God just to God just to make it all better now. And we've just been creating this monster for 40 years. Now, God can get in and help, but you got to let God work through his purposes, his ways to prune you, guide you, direct you, and to bring you where you ultimately want to be, but it's not so often going to happen overnight. And that's what we want. We want quick results. We want somebody to give us a special pill, special medicine to just take it all away and fix it. It don't work that way. There's no medicine. There's medicine out there to take to help you with anxiety and depression, but all it is it's a simple Band-Aid covering up a deeper problem that's occurring in your life. But most people don't want to do the work that's entailed to help with the problem so they can stop taking the medication. It's just a lot easier to pop some pills, take me into La La Land to where I don't have to think about what's going on and I don't have to face some of the decisions I've made in my life to get me in the position that I'm in. Brethren, I don't say these things lightly. I take them very serious. But we run to the world when we run to Egypt to get the help that we desire and not to God and to His Word, we'll continue to stay in that cycle and it'll never be broken. In order to break that cycle, we need God to get in on that thing. But it's not going to be an easy process. It will not be an easy process, but God can help you through the process. That's why I had such a heart. I still have a heart for those young men and young women that are incarcerated. And some of them, I saw it took 3, 4, 5 years finally before God broke through and gave some light to that young man or young lady. But it took 3, 4, 5 years of consistently staying faithful for them to finally realize maybe God can help me out. Even though He won't take me out of the situation and the consequences that I'm facing. Brethren, there's consequences for our actions. And God might not take away the consequences, but God can help us through them if we'll allow them. They want to run to Egypt for help. Remember what we read there in Thessalonians? Paul said to God, God, direct our way unto you. Direction from God. Direction from the Lord. Look at verse number 19, Jeremiah 42. The Lord hath said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Look what God says to the prophet Jeremiah to them in verse number 20. For ye have dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which He has sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. And it shall come to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of us speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for the which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. What did they just say back in chapter 42? We'll do all that you tell us to do. Verse number 5, they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Jeremiah gives them word. Jeremiah gives them direction from God. And when they received the direction from God, all the proud men told Jeremiah, you're speaking falsely. God didn't tell you to tell us that. Basically, you didn't give us what we wanted. And because you didn't give us what we wanted, guess what, Jeremiah? You're coming with us and we're going down into Egypt where we wanted to go in the first place. How many people come and say, well, pray for me, and they already have in their mind, they're already determined what they're going to do. And it's almost like just going through the motions, just pray for me. I already know what I'm going to do, but just pray for me. May God help us. Verse number 4. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people, obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. You know what? You read the rest of the story. They go down into Egypt and they get destroyed. And they never see the land of Judah ever again, because they got lost down there in Egypt because they were afraid to follow what the Lord was telling them to do. You know, this Christian walk is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we hear. It's a walk of faith, trusting the Lord even though we don't understand. It's taking God at His word, and in the worst times and in the worst troubles, like I said this morning, me and Brother Glenn were talking about it. Look, I think something's going on in a lot of believers' lives, because I believe God's trying to do something not only here in this church and in this area, but those that are trying to strive to live for the Lord, the enemy knows it, and he's going to pour it on those that are trying to strive to live for God. Trying to put into practice, look, the more you try to put into practice of what the Bible says, the more the darkness is, the more chances that the darkness is going to get even darker. Because the Lord's wanting, listen, the darker it gets, what God's wanting you to do is just trust Him, take His hand, and let Him take you one step at a time. You get out there in those woods. Brother Jim took me someplace Friday, up there hiking near Hickory Run. And I took a picture, and I'll show it in the Greek class, Lord willing, Tuesday. But brother, as we were walking through some of that mountain laurel, some of that mountain laurel is just so thick. But somebody had carved out a little path that you could walk. You gotta, for me, now if you're short, you ain't got to worry about it. But for me, I had to bend over a little bit to walk through. But we were walking through there, 11, 12 o'clock, almost midday, and it was just so dark in there. And we were walking through there, and I turned around and I looked, and I said, isn't that like some Christians walk with God? Sometimes you're on a mountaintop, and it's bright and sunny. Sometimes you're next to a stream that is just relaxing, and you just have peace with God. But then other times, our steep paths up the mountain, going through dark areas, it's got you bent over, hunched over, it's dark, it's hard because you're walking up through through the rocks and all that. There's chances for you to stumble and fall. That is a Christian's walk. And now, as you walk through the Christian walk, there's going to be some times where it's going to be so dark to where you can't even see what's in front of you. But if you have the flashlight of God's Word, when it's that dark, you're not running. You're a fool if you're running, because you're going to hurt yourself. But God's not asking you to run during those dark times. God's just asking you to just put one foot in front of the other with the little bit of light you got to take the next step, which is right in front of you. One step at a time. You want to make it through the hard times, the dark times, the times where you feel like you can't break free from it. You can't, brother, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. The times where you can't stop the craziness in your mind. I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one in here, but there are times, like I said this morning, to where there's so much noise and chatter in my mind. Listen, if I were to tell it to a psychologist, they'd probably want to admit me. I've seen some of those psychological tests and things that they put people through to determine whether they're sane or not. I guarantee if I opened up about some of the things I struggle with, they'd say, yeah, you definitely need to go into the mental institution. because this world can't understand spiritual battles. This world can't understand the spiritual battles that take place in a Christian's life. And see, what the devil wants to do, and I said it before, and I'll keep saying it, the devil wants you to think you're the only one going through it, that you're just the crazy one. No, 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 no. The devil will plant thoughts in your mind, and so often he'll do it in the middle of the night. When it's dark out, you can't pick up the phone because it's 2:30 in the morning. All the world seems like it's asleep, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts, and you're like, where in the world are these thoughts coming from? And it plagues you so much to where you can't even fall back asleep again. And then that just tumbles over to the date it's about to happen because you're tired and you're wore out because you didn't get good sleep, and it's almost like a snowball that it's so hard to try to stop. The devil will plague you and plague you and plague you and plague you to hopefully to where he'll get you to the point, like I said this morning, I quit. I quit. I'm done. And there's been times in my life where I've gotten there to where I've said, I just quit. Forget this nonsense. I'm just done with this. And it's all like all of a sudden, everything's all sunny and fine. I'm happy. Everything's good. It's because I'm not in a fight no more. I've took myself out of the fight. Brethren, the battle's real. Let us run and get direction and guidance from Jesus Christ our Lord and His Word, rather than trying to run to Egypt to get the help we think we're going to get. See, they went to Egypt thinking that they were going to outrun the famine that they were getting ready to face. But what they ended up running into is famine. They thought they were going to outrun the sword that they thought they were going to face if they stayed there in the land of Judah, but they ended up facing the sword down there in the land of Egypt. Stay close to God. Draw near to Him. I believe it was Harlan Popov who suffered over there in Romania. If you've never read his book, it's a book to read, Tortured for Christ. You want to talk about a book. That book is something else. But he talks about sometimes the communist government over there, when he was taken prisoner and a bunch of other pastors with him, because they wouldn't fall in line with what the state was wanting them to do. And ultimately they were cast into prison. They were brainwashed. They went through all kinds of horrible stuff. But Harlan Popov says there was times where they would put him in solitary confinement with no light at all, no light. They would throw him down in almost like a little dungeon over there in a prison in Romania. And he said he was put in this room, this small little room, no light at all. And he would be down there for weeks on end to where when they would finally open a door to maybe give him something, the light that would crack through and shine through that, it would blind his eyes, couldn't handle it because he had been in darkness so long. And he said that he struggled with that for a time to where it was such a plague on his mind. But he said it got to a point when he was in that position, some of the closest times he's ever had with God in his entire life. He said there was times there in that darkness that he was so close to God he could almost feel Him. See, the darker it gets, the greater an opportunity is to walk with our God in a closer fellowship with Him and more of an opportunity to feel His love that He has towards us. You see, He cares for us tonight. He loves us. He knows what we're going through. But He's given us the tools and the ability to make it through some of the darkest hours that we have to face. Continue to walk with Him. Continue to be willing to take the direction, the guidance, and the instruction that He's desiring to give you. Don't turn to Egypt for help. Turn to Jesus Christ and His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray that some of these things made sense, dear Lord. God, I pray You'd help us all with these battles that we face, Lord, that nobody else knows about but us and You. Lord, help those tonight, dear God, that are struggling in the mind, dear Lord, the darkness, the depression, things that just plague the mind, dear God, and nobody can see. Lord, I pray you'd keep the enemy at bay, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd keep the enemy at bay. Lord, I pray you'd bring deliverance. I pray you'd bring light and help, dear God, to those that are struggling tonight, dear Lord. God, I pray you'd bring them comfort and encouragement. Lord, to where there may be someone here tonight, they say, forget it. I'm just about done with this. Lord, that you would encourage them to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, help us to love you more, walk closer to you, spend more time in your word, more time in prayer, and more time in fellowship with you. Lord, for we know that you love us. And Lord, your word says that you'll direct our paths. God, help us to trust you with all our heart. Help us not to lean into our own understanding. And help us in all our ways to acknowledge you. And Lord, in that, dear God, you'll direct our paths. Lord, I pray you'd help us now, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd watch over us through this week. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You got one?